You're listening to WRUW FM 91.1 Cleveland, broadcasting from the campus of Case Western Reserve University.
You are listening to Frost Radio, bringing the crystallization of new ideas to the airwaves. The views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of WRUW or Case Western Reserve University.
In the early 1970s, an organization named MOVE emerged out of West Philadelphia and soon became the center of both the police's and the media's attention. As MOVE devoted more and more time over the years working with the homeless, assisting the elderly with house repairs, intervening in violence between local gangs and college fraternities, and helping incarcerated offenders meet parole requirements through a rehabilitation program, the police devoted more and more time to stopping them. Under the cover of distorted media coverage, the police steadily became increasingly violent and, on August 8, 1978, launched an assault on the MOVE house, which left one police officer dead and nine MOVE members serving 30 to 100-year sentences. Eight of the MOVE nine remain incarcerated today, one having died under suspicious circumstances in the prison. In our current climate of escalating police violence and deteriorating civil liberties, we have a lot to learn from the history of the MOVE organization. Today on Frost Radio, in commemoration of the 24th anniversary of the siege of the MOVE house and the imprisonment of the MOVE 9, we are speaking with Janine Phillips Africa, one of the MOVE 9 who is currently serving her 30 to 100-year sentence in the Cambridge Springs State Correctional Facility. This conversation between Janine and Joe Damiano of Friends of MOVE Cleveland was recorded on July 22nd.
Can you just start telling me about the MOVE organization a little bit?
Well, the MOVE organization is an organization that believes in life, which is our religion, and our religion is to protect life and to go against anything that imposes on life, that destroys life, which is basically this entire reform world system, which is what started all the confrontations between MOVE and this system. You know, MOVE is not about fighting cops like everybody thinks. MOVE got involved with cops because MOVE started confronting politicians, businessmen who were destroying life, imposing on the air, the water, through industry. You know, like the different companies that was poisoning the water. When they first built Three Mile Island, MOVE was the only organization that demonstrated against it. And it was situations like this where the politicians felt like we were exposing them too much, so they brought the cops in to put them in between us and them. And this is where the confrontation started with cops. It wasn't a thing where MOVE just went out there and had a thing against cops.
Right.
The cops put themselves in between us and the politicians, and they just started beating us unjustly, locking us up unjustly for demonstrating against businessmen and different politicians who were supposed to be upholding the community, working for the people, and who weren't. They were just in it to help big business get different policies and licenses passed that would be beneficial to big business, but, you know, destroying the poor neighborhood. So this is what MOVE is about. You know, we demonstrate against Puppy Palace, against the zoo, anything that's enslaving life, anything that hurts life in any way, MOVE was making a stand against. And this is where all the arrests came from. And we were arrested in 1 year over 500 times for peaceful demonstrations, which, you know, based on the Constitution, we have a right to do. But when it came to MOVE, all of a sudden, we didn't have this right. And we kept demonstrating, and they kept jumping on us and arresting us. And the confrontations escalated because the cops were being backed by officials. So they just felt like they could get even more violent with us because they was under orders to stop us any way that they can. And it got to the point where it got so bad, we were being unjustly evicted from our homes. We would pay our rent and whatever bills, but they wanted to get rid of us so bad they was having the landlords evict us. We got arrested for that, you know. And then when we come home from jail, we greeting our families. We got arrested for that, which led up to March 28th, 1976, where my baby life, Africa, was killed because some of our brothers and sisters was just getting out of jail, and we came home to greet them. And all of a sudden, here come all these cop cars with no lights on, coming up quiet, just parking along across from my headquarters at 33rd and Town. Came over and said, we have a call about a disturbance, a fight out here. And Chuck Africa said, there's no fight out here. It's just more people greeting our family home from jail. So, you know, go on back to wherever you came from. And once he said that, that was it. They came swinging with blackjacks from every direction. And I was standing in front of Phil, and the cop took me and threw me on the ground and stomped me, and the baby's head got crushed.
Oh, man.
He was only 3 weeks old. They tried to lie and say that there never was a baby out there. The neighbors came out and said that I did have a baby. They saw the baby, and the baby was fine. So then they tried to say the baby died of a rat bite. All this kind of stuff, where the neighbors were saying, no, they had seen the baby. Our babies were fine. Our babies were healthy, and nothing happened like that. So then they said, well, turn the baby over to us. Give us the baby's body. We'll have autopsy. And we said, no, we're not giving you the baby. You know, not only does it violate our belief, but we know how crooked you are. You know, we turn over the baby's body, we'll never see the baby again, or you'll make up your own lies about what happened. No. So what they did was they sent me away for the day on another activity, and then they had different councilmen, religious leaders, news media come in the house, view the body of the baby, and, you know, and get the details from MOVE about what happened. And that put a lot of pressure on the news media and the court system. And what they did was they dropped the case against the MOVE people that got arrested that night. But the thing was if you're saying MOVE was innocent that night, then somebody was guilty
because
the baby was killed. But they just threw the case out saying that pictures weren't enough to prosecute the cops for murder. This was Judge Myrna Marshall. Now, in 1978, when we got arrested and they tore the house down, the police and city presented pictures of the house, and she said that was enough to hold us on murder charges when a cop was killed. You see what I'm saying? This is what's happening with MOVE, and this is the situation with MOVE. You know, we started off demonstrating for life, protesting against what man is doing in life, and it led up to this. And 78 confrontation where they killed one of their own cops, but because we all came out the house alive, they gave us the body because their whole intentions was just to stop MOVE.
Right.
Because they couldn't stop us any other kind of way. They couldn't stop us through arrest. They couldn't bribe us, you know, which was one of the other alternatives, to bribe us to give us federal grants, because they knew we wanted to do work with, you know, unwed teens, the gangs in the neighborhood, you know, the kids, people on drugs, the kind of work MOVE does. And they tried to use that. They will give you federal grants for all these programs if y'all will stop demonstrating. We said, you can't use our belief to make us stop applying our belief. We wouldn't take it.
Right.
And that's when the arrests and the beatings really escalated. And that's when they came up with this plan to get rid of us in 1977. By attacking us and saying that they were going to evict us because our house was a health hazard, you know. And that's what led up to the May 20th, 1977 confrontation, where they came out there talking about they were going to inspect our house because it was a health hazard and they were going to evict us. But that's not what it was. They just wanted an excuse to come in there and once again kill more people, beat more people, jail more people, because they wanted to just break up the organization. And we beat them to the punch. We came out on the platform disarmed and in fatigue and said, whatever y'all do this time, you're going to do it out in the open. You're going to do it in the public eye. No more beat and move people in the courtrooms or in the 2 and 3 in the morning and nobody seeing what happens. When y'all attack move this time, you're going to do it publicly. We're going to let the whole world see just how corrupt you officials are and your cops are. That is why we took the stand we took May 20th, 1977, which led to the year-long standoff where they put the hunger strike blockade up, didn't let us have any food and water for 53 days. And then when that put pressure on them, because everybody in the city was like, oh my God, you know, you're starving men, women, babies, breastfeeding babies, and Rizzo had to back off. And that's when they came up with this so-called agreement, you know, and we knew that they weren't going to abide by the agreement, but we took the agreement because we knew people in the city wouldn't have understood if we would have said we didn't want nothing to do with the agreement. They would have felt like we didn't want a peaceful end to the confrontation. So we took the agreement, but we knew that the city was going to violate it, and that's just what they did. As soon as they searched the house and we turned over all of the guns, and they felt like we didn't have any guns and we were defenseless, they came out August 8th and attacked the house. You know, and in their attempt to kill us, they wound up killing one of their own, shooting some of their own, seriously injuring people, you know, from their police force, and shooting firemen, and then they blamed it on us.
Hey, can you explain it a little bit on August 8th, 1978, what happened on that day?
Well, they claimed, according to the agreement, that we had to be out of the house within 90 days. And we told them we never agreed to anything like that. We told them that we said we would move a lot of the people out of the house, but someone would always be at Powhatan Avenue because it would be set up like a school to teach people about John Africa and our beliefs. And they were saying, no, 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 that's the agreement. We said, no, that wasn't the agreement, and we're not moving. So they said that all the people that were in that house were violating the agreement. But what they did was they went and arrested people that were in an organization that wasn't in the house. They went all the way to Virginia and arrested some of our sisters that had almost all our children down there. And they arrested some of the people that left the organization after the confrontation. But what they did was, when they brought those people in, it was three of them, Lee Singh, Ishango, and her husband. They said that they weren't no longer in the organization. They didn't plan to be in the organization, so they let them go.
Okay.
And they only arrested people who were committed MOVE members. But the point is if you're saying that if we violated the agreement that everybody that was part of that agreement had to be arrested, then I don't care if they weren't in MOVE anymore or not. They were supposed to be arrested too. So, you know, it was just really showing, crystallized that all they wanted to do was get rid of MOVE because they went all the way to Virginia. They didn't come to those of us who were still in the house. You went to the people in Virginia first. So they arrested the people in Virginia. Then after they felt like they arrested all the people that were outside of the house, they came walk safe and attacked us. They came with over 500 cops and firemen, bulldozer, anti-missile guns. They moved all the cars off the street, made everybody leave out of their house, punched all the windows out of the house, tore the fence down, tore the porch down. Then they came in the house, went through our whole house, tore our whole house up, tore everything up, drilled a hole in the floor above the cellar, poured gallons and gallons of water through the hole, through the front windows. They were using deluge hoses, which is so powerful that it could have killed one of us if we just would have got caught in front of the hose. That's how much water was coming. It was picking up 6-foot-long railroad ties and throwing them back in the house like toothpicks. And they just poured that and poured that and poured that and poured that. Then they took and they poured in tear gas, which was pointed out during the trial that that combination is a deliberate deadly weapon because the smoke with the water mixed could kill you. It condenses it and you can't breathe.
Wow.
And then all the shooting broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out the house. The men sent the women and the kids out. And we came out the house and people were arrested. We were all arrested separately. And then we found out that they had beaten and shot Delbert. They beat all the men, but they beat and shot Delbert, and Chucky got shot.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't know exactly what happened until we came to trial, because come to find out, a news reporter hid in the closet of one of the houses across the street from headquarters, and he videotaped the whole arrest and the beating. And it was...
You have 1 minute left to talk.
It was all over national news of these four cops beating Delbert when it was clear he was coming out, hands up, mm-hmm. no weapons, didn't have a shirt on, just mm-hmm. pants. Knew he didn't have no weapon. As soon as he got near the cops, was no threatening gestures, the cops just swung a helmet, hit him in the head. They started beating him with rifle butts, kicking him, beating him till he was unconscious. None of the four cops was sentenced to jail. The judge wouldn't let the jury make a decision. He dismissed the jury and acquitted all four cops on his own. And I mean, it was seen on national TV. It's clear they was guilty. Meanwhile, we're in jail, and they don't see Moose.
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
They don't see Moose doing nothing on the videotapes except being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But we got 3,200 years, and the cops who were seen clearly beating Delbert gets acquitted of all charges.
We'll be back in 1 minute with more of our conversation with Janine Phillips Africa from the MOVE organization.
Sun and each and every dread is a powerful light ray. I never wanted things to be in reverse, cause God makes ways for wise travelers. So my views of this world are ever growing. That's ever growing is the way one must view.
A soul of conviction, unjustly convicted,
yeah.
Happy TV commercials and biracial shows. The
smell of reality still burns my nose.
Not content
till it smells like a rose. Whether it's in style to keep the fight, I tread these waters and make my waves, yes I do. And I will fight until my dying day. Even after that, my ghost resides with pride. I'll always reside with pride. I'll continue to strive with pride. I'll always have my pride.
Brothers and sisters, my name's Headliner. From the family, Arrested Development. Power to the people, y'all. The struggle for liberation of African people still continues. Never settle for our present oppressions. Freedom is our right, we demand that. Possessed with the spirits of the Black Panthers, the MOVE organization, Nat Turner, Asada, David Walker.
Forward, ever, backwards, never. Day by day, through trials I try. Always triumphant, never fair. We've come too far to turn back now. I won't turn back, I move. My blood is thicker than the waters of any flood. Yeah. Yeah. Here I am facing the Almighty herself. If she approves, then I am saved. Clear of trouble is the path I pave for generations of children to walk and run. Whether it's the style to keep the fight,
I tread the waters and make waves, God knows, and I will fight until my dying day. And even after that, my ghost resides with pride. I always will live with pride. Always will live with pride. Always live with pride.
I don't try to follow the past of acceptance. I just try to follow the path of redemption and self-development. The meek shall inherit the earth. We must wake up and smell the birth of a nation. Never settle for the present oppression, or should I say, down pressure. Because I exist, I resist. Because I'm alive, I strive. But pride, yeah. Power to the people, y'all. The struggle for liberation of African people still continues. Yes, never settle for our present oppression. Freedom is our right, and we demand that. Possessed with the spirits of the Black Panthers. Yeah, the Black Panthers. The MOVE organization. Nat Turner, Asada, David Walker. Yeah, Patrice Lumumba. Power to the people. The struggle for dignity still lives on in our minds.
After that, all the evidence was then destroyed within hours, and
as soon as we were all arrested and they went through the house, they tore the house down, tore the whole house, bulldozed it down. And based on their laws, you're supposed to preserve the crime scene.
Right.
All right, and in anybody else's case, that's what they do. But they didn't, they destroyed that house because they didn't want people to see what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want people to see all the bullet holes that was shot in the house, and they didn't want people to see how MOVE couldn't have killed the cop, like they said, because the first report was Ramp was shot in the back of the head and the bullet traveled down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was facing our house and we were in the basement, making us below ground level. There's no way we could shoot and the bullet turn around and go behind his head and then travel downward.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was shot by one of those cops behind him up high on the roof. But they didn't want people to see that and be able to test that, so
Right. They
tore the house down. And during the trial, the cops was even saying how much they were shooting, because they would get up there and testify and say that they heard women and children screaming. And they said, well, what did you do? He said, I pointed my weapon in the direction of the women and the children that I heard the noise coming from, and I emptied my gun, reloaded, emptied again.
Mm.
So, you know, it was really clear that MOVE is innocent and the cops are guilty, and that either they shot that cop deliberately or in their frenzy, because they were shooting from every direction. They were on four roofs and the cops were in front of them and they were just shooting like crazy. Mm. When we saw the videotape, it looked like Vietnam.
I've seen it. I know it does. It's crazy.
Yes, and
I guess they even took the tree down?
They tore everything down. Which was another thing, because they were trying to say that it proves MOVE shot first because the bullets went in the tree. Well, the tree is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have any evidence of MOVE doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
All you have is evidence of the cops attacking, the cops shooting, the cops beating up MOVE people. All of a sudden, now, all these videotapes, the TV tape and three police videotapes have disappeared mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
When Judge Malman, the judge, trial judge, claims that is what he based his decision on, the tape, saying this was the first time a crime was ever caught in its entirety on tape. Well, the only crime that was caught on that tape was the police, because the only thing you see of MOVE people is us being arrested. You don't see anything else.
That's right.
You know? And these tapes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
The tapes are gone, and we're sitting here with 30 to 100 years based on these mysterious tapes that don't show MOVE doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Rendell, who was the DA at the time, and then the mayor, sequestered the autopsy of Rand. Now, why would you sequester the autopsy when it was supposed to be public knowledge, it was during the trial.
That's
what do you
suspicious.
Have sequestered that is different from what we had in the trial?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's definitely suspicious.
Yes, it is. And nothing matches up. They know they railroaded us. They threw us out when we was representing ourselves because we were really exposing them cops in a lot of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Even the newspaper headlines were saying, move, growth, cop, move, exposes cops in lies. They threw us out the courtroom, had these court-appointed lawyers represent us. They didn't do anything, got us 3,200 years. And then when our family was putting pressure on the city to investigate our case, they were bombed and killed. And then when that put pressure on the city, then Supreme Court Justice Judge Nix said, well, let's have an investigation into the Move Nines trial. The lawyers who represented us get in the newspaper and say that's unethical. He's never heard of any panel for a case that's been closed.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they know that they were part of that railroad job. Mm-hmm. They don't want us out of jail because they feel like then we could come after them.
Right.
For what they did to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you never heard of any lawyer that would put down any chance for their client to get out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was something suspicious going on.
That's right.
You know, and so that's the point it's at now. You know, our case has been turned down by the Superior Court, Supreme Court. Supreme Court wouldn't even allow us to appeal because the whole point here is they want to get rid of Move any way they can. And it's obvious they tried to kill us August 8th. They couldn't kill us. So you see what they did in 1985, because that's all they want to do. They want to stop us by any means necessary, and they will go to any extremes, and they have demonstrated that.
Mm.
And they know that we don't belong in this jail, but they're going to keep us here as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Until they feel like they can get away with it, because they don't want Move people on the street, because Move people tell the truth, and the truth is a threat to the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a threat.
You know, I had a question about, now in 1985, there was one bomb, or was there several bombs dropped on the house, the Move house?
We were in jail. We were in the hole. So we don't know. All we can go by is, like, some newspaper reports. They, as far as we know, was one drop from a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what all they did out there that day.
And do you know where that bomb came from?
The police bought C4 illegally from the federal government.
Mm.
And put that bomb together illegally and dropped it, which was another cover-up. That it was mentioned briefly in the beginning how the federal government was all involved in that. They got a lot of their weapons that they had out there from the federal government.
Mm.
And the C4 came from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep telling people this situation with Move is much more than what the Philadelphia officials is letting on the people. This government wants Move stopped, which is why when it went up to the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
it was thrown out, because it went past Philadelphia officials. It went all the way up to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at. They have rooms and rooms and rooms of documents on Move. They've been following Move, documenting Move, photographing Move, wiretapping our phones since the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just Philadelphia officials. These were FBI files. You know, and that's where we're at now. They know we're innocent. They know we don't deserve to be in jail, but as long as we say we are committed to giant Africa, to this revolution, they are planning on keeping us in prison.
Mm-hmm. And so no one was ever held accountable for the deaths of the innocent people in the house at that time when it was bombed?
Not one day in jail. Not one. Not any of them spent one day in jail. In fact, Mayor Good was re-elected as mayor.
Mm.
But he... really, he is in his own jail term, because he met with Move people when he was city managing director, and he told our family when he had the meeting with them that he knew Move people got a raw deal, and that when he became mayor, he was going to do something about it. When he became mayor, they put that pressure on him to get rid of Move, and he sold Move out for that position, and he went along and let them kill more people, and he's had to carry that, and he has been through every kind of emotional trauma you could think of. He has on all kind of medications, nervous breakdown, beating his wife. You know, he's done, he's just lost everything. Then after he went through all of that, he wants to meet with Mona and tell him he wants to make amends.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Ramon said, there's nothing that you have to say to me. You know,
wow.
The time to do that was when you became mayor and you had the opportunity to have an investigation into the Move 9 trial, which was all our family was pushing for, an honest investigation into our case. And for that, they bombed and killed them. That's all. They wasn't talking about storming the city,
no,
having a confrontation. They said, we want an honest investigation into our family's jail sentence because it's unjust. And if it was an honest investigation, they knew that they wouldn't be able to hold us. And they and the city knew that. The government knew that. That's why they wanted to shut our family up and not draw attention to it and put pressure on them, because they know if anybody was to look into our case honestly, that they'd have to release us tomorrow. And they know that. They know that. And that's why they killed our family. And that's why, and as long as people sit back and allow them, they will make us do 30 to 100 years if they can get away with it. You know, but they not reckoning on the power of John Africa and the commitment of Move people, because our family is out there working 24 hours a day, traveling, getting to any organization, people, telling them all about the Move situation. And the support is growing, and the pressure is there, you know, but it's just a thing where people going to have to really be serious about showing the system that they're watching them, and they're not going to just sit by anymore and let them persecute Move the way that they're doing. And it's getting there slowly but surely. It's getting there.
And there's a big media blackout on Move. It's like impossible to access any information through any kind of mainstream media. And a lot of people don't even realize that there are any Move people that are still in prison right now. I talk to people all the time that just don't realize that. They have no idea. And when they hear it, they're appalled by it. I guess I was wondering what people, like, how can people get, like, learn more about Move and get more involved with supporting the people in Move?
Well, our family have a website, and they have a newspaper, and they're always open to people that, like, get in touch with them and show their concern. I mean, they have Friends of Move organizations all over the state, outside of the country, you know, and there's just, if you have a computer, you can find Move on there. It's LLJA.com. And you can just get online, and our family has always had some kind of work that people can do. You know, we don't expect people to take a stand like Move do, you know, because we knew when we joined the organization, John F. explained to us how corrupt this system is and what we'd be facing, what we'd be dealing with, and we made a decision to commit ourselves to do this work for life. So we knew what we were facing, and we're still willing to face this. We're still willing to fight. And we don't expect other people to take the stand we're taking, but there's things people can do where they don't feel like they're putting themselves in a position to be dealing with police or anything like that. You know, writing letters, anything, you know, making phone calls, calling into radio shows, you know, putting pressure on their legislators, their state reps to make the Move 9 an issue. You know, they want, those politicians need those votes. So when they come up for election and they be campaigning for them votes, people can put that pressure on them and say, well, one of the issues we want dealt with is the Move 9. And make that an issue and start blackballing them politicians who won't make it an issue, stop giving them their votes. Because that's real important to those officials. They need people. They need people's tax dollars. And there's just a lot of ways like that that people can get involved, help, and let this government know that people are not idly sitting by anymore and allowing them to just do whatever they want to Move.
You know, another thing I wanted to know about was Mumia Abu-Jamal's connection to MOVE, and I know he was a journalist at the time, and he was really looking into the MOVE thing and like questioning a lot of people about it. Can you elaborate on that at all?
Mumia, we met Mumia after the March 28th, 1976 incident where my baby was killed. Mm. He came to do a report on it. And once he met us and started hearing John F. Kennedy's teaching and what MOVE's about, he really saw that we were being misrepresented in the press because all the lies the government was telling everybody.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
Everybody in Philadelphia thought we were crazy. Mm-hmm. He got involved. He started following the organization on up to August 8th. He covered our trial extensively, and all he did was print the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't print anything slanted MOVE's way or the city's way. He just printed the truth mm-hmm. of what we said in the courtroom, and it was coming out in MOVE's favor because we were telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like that, and they put pressure on him, and when they realized he wasn't going to stop, they tried to stop him by shooting him,
mm-hmm.
literally shooting him. And then when that didn't do it, they gave him the death penalty for the cops. No one knows what happened out there that day.
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
But that's why he was shot mm-hmm. and arrested, and why they targeted him, because he was representing MOVE justly.
Right.
And that was putting pressure on this government.
We'll be back in a moment with more of our conversation with Janine Phillips Africa from the MOVE organization.
John Africa?
John Africa is a black man born in Philadelphia who wrote the guidelines that MOVE live under, the principle we follow. He's a God-wise man that doesn't have a whole lot of formal schooling. You know, he only went up to the third grade and he got out of the school system, and he formed the MOVE organization. And he, his teaching, his principle is just right, you know. Since we joined the MOVE organization, all of us, you know, there were people who had mental problems, physical problems, you know, husband-wife problems. We've had the same problems everybody else has.
Mm-hmm.
And through John Apter's teaching, we're not like that anymore. You know, mm-hmm. we're clean, honest, hard-working people, loving parents, loving husbands, wives, strong family. And this is because of John Apter's teaching, because John Apter instills the principle of family, the principle of love, commitment, in MOVE people,
mm-hmm.
in anybody that's around us. I mean, the influence of John Apter is felt through us with all the people we're around. The inmates that we're around,
mm-hmm.
they automatically start acting different when they're around us. They start eating better. They start working harder. They start being more fair-minded and kinder to other people because of MOVE's influence.
Right on.
You know, the racism that exists when the people are around MOVE, we don't allow them to perpetuate that because
mm-hmm.
John Apter hates prejudice, because prejudice is a dangerous disease. It's prejudice that made people sit back and allow the city to attack us August 8th, to bomb us 1985, because they felt like MOVE people want cosmetic, we want money rich,
right.
we weren't combing our hair and wearing blue jeans. And out of that prejudice, they felt like we weren't important and that we were crazy and we deserved what we, you know, whatever the city did.
Mm-hmm.
That prejudice is dangerous. It's the prejudice that makes blacks hate whites, whites hate blacks, and men feel like they're superior to women. Women feel like they're superior to children, and people as a whole feel like they're superior to life. Prejudice is dangerous. Dangerous is that prejudice that makes people feel like it's, the air isn't important, so go ahead and that industry just spit all that poison up in the air and throw all that poison in the water and in the soil that you need to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because people feel like trees and the water and the air is not important, that the dogs, cats, animal life ain't important, and they just mistreat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same place that let a person feel like you could just gas dogs by the thousands for being guilty of nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know. But let a rich person commit a crime that's heinous, kill somebody, and the system is taught that they should be respected and treated differently.
Mm.
Prejudice is dangerous, and John Apter hates it, and MOVE people hate it, and we do not indulge in it. And anybody around us, we don't allow them to indulge in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that what you do is you treat a person by what they do. If a person is right, then you treat them right. If they're wrong, then you point out that wrong and help them. If they don't want the help, then, you know, you treat them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the influence of John Apter, you know, and that influence is felt wherever MOVE people are at, wherever we work at. They say we're the hardest workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they don't, they, our children work at different jobs, and the people at the jobs be saying, you know, who raised you? Y'all work like people back in the 40s, you know, and I've never seen people that's so much family like y'all. They're saying our MOVE kids is more family than the people they work for. It's a family that run the company. And he's saying they, our children are more family to each other than they are. This is the influence of John Apter. This is what John Apter instills in MOVE people. And this is why MOVE people are so committed to John Apter, because before coming to MOVE, we were plagued with problems. We were unhappy. You know, the system promised us things, promised us happiness, promised us satisfaction, and it didn't give us anything.
Mm-hmm.
Disillusionment, war, and sickness, and problems. I have to explain us, it's like a poison well. The well is poison. You're not going to stick your cup in there and find some pure water
mm-hmm.
in the well. You get in that well, everything in there is poison. And that's what people don't understand. It's just poison. The system is poison and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous. They will do anything to keep this money system afloat. If that means killing you, your kids, and the whole neighborhood like they did in 1985 with MOVE, they
mm-hmm.
will do it.
Mm-hmm.
They burnt down an entire neighborhood
an entire block for a handful of people because they wanted an investigation into their family's unjust imprisonment. Now, if that's not like Russia or Cuba, the way this government is, you know, criticizing them, what is?
Right. So that was the only basis of them going in there, too. There was...
Yes. That's all. They had a misdemeanor.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
A misdemeanor warrant for not appearing in court. I mean, it wasn't even... It was something that you would get a summary sentence for. And they went in there with all of those cops, firemen, bombs, for a handful of people and five children. Five children. Our family have a post office box, and anybody that want to get in contact can write. It's called...
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
Move P.O. Box 19709, Philadelphia, P.A. 19143.
All right. Thanks so much, Janine.
Anytime, Brett. Anytime.
All right.
We want to thank Janine Africa for taking time to speak with us today. We also want to thank Joe Damiano for his work in setting up our conversation and talking with her on telephone. If you want to learn more about the MOVE organization, what's happening with MOVE locally, you can contact Joe of Friends of MOVE Cleveland at 216-575-1175. That's 575-1175. What we're going to do is wind out today's episode of Frost Radio with a track from the Seeds of Wisdom. Seeds of Wisdom is a group that is that constituted by the children and grandchildren of the MOVE organization. And the track we'll wind up with is MOVE Belief.
We don't believe in man's reform world system at all. Life, which is the same as God. Clean air, clean water. The power that you and I came from. And it is the same source. The same sun that shines on you is on me.
The views expressed in Frost Radio are not necessarily those of the station, WRUW, nor Case Western Reserve University.
You're not born to breathe it. I'm fighting for the food that you got to eat. And you know damn well that you got to eat it. Move belief is like this. How we treat it.
We respect the birds, the same with the fish. Monkeys reap for fear like it is our father or mother, sister or brother. We don't look at insignificant things like color. We got total respect for life. This is how we see it. The system got life in jail, so free it. Eagles and penguins and falcons and hawks, piranhas and catfish and Oscars and sharks. Free all lifeless women to all walks, from the birds in the sky to the man that fought.
The way man got life, it's a damn shame. Knocking like crack a full flex is a damn game. Stealing from India, the tigers that was there. Going to Alaska to get a polar bear. Go to Africa to get a lion, that's albino. You don't like that, so you're traded for a rhino. And this life is there for your goddamn amusement. That just shows you goddamn confusion. Blacks that was done to our ancestors. Jews, what about where Germans was molested? Christians, what about what the people did to Jesus? And y'all take animals, divide them into pieces. All this rape for the amusement of men. Y'all don't care what you do to the life of the land.
You take babies from mothers, sisters from brothers. You take their lives and try to act like you husbands and wives to your family. Insanity is pushed on these animals. Now you're talking about let's save the world and all mammals. When you cause a problem that you now can't handle, if this was on the radio, you'd probably change the channel. You kill millions of animals because you say you was inspired. But inspiration's hallucination when your occupation's killing life and destroying the nation. You like dropping bombs that fill the fire of the MOVE organization. You call yourself a doctor, so be your own patient. If what you do to life is right, put yourself in captivation or die of starvation. Have people...